Hello there, this is Crystal, and you're listening to the Crystal Archive podcast.
Welcome to the Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 23. I'm your host, Mr. Crystal, and this podcast was recorded on December 14th, 2009. Well, we've got a lot of stuff, a lot of interesting, cool stuff that happened since last time, and that's coming up right around the bend, so let's dive right in. Oh, but before I do, I want to say that this podcast is going to be a little bit rough because I'm pressed for time. I'm about to leave for a Christmas break and to go see my family back home, and that means I have to get this podcast out and available on the internet before I leave, and that means it's going to be a little bit rough. There's going to be less editing involved, and unfortunately, there's not going to be any background music this week or this podcast. So I apologize for that. So let's jump right into the old news, things that have happened since last time in the world of Crystal. Alright, so first of all, immediately either during or right after the last podcast, episode 22, I moved our feeds, the entire podcast feed system, from Odeo, a podcast hosting service, or at least they used to be, to Google's FeedBurner. The site itself, because it's based on WordPress installation, has the capability of generating podcasts on its own. And so I used FeedBurner to modify that feed into a much more customizable, controlled podcast feed. And now it's not dependent on a third-party service necessarily. It's still based on what I do. So if I want to remove an episode, that was very difficult to do in Odeo. I had a very difficult time. And they also had some errors in their service, and they were just becoming more obsolete because they decided to actually cancel their podcasting system for new podcasts. They were still... Odeo was still keeping track of podcasts, but they wouldn't allow people to be broadcasters on their site unless they already had an account. I already had an account, but the fact that that was no longer their business model made the service a bit slow and full of errors in some cases. So I decided to move it, and now we use FeedBurner, and it couldn't be better, actually. It's basically no maintenance because I don't have to do something special to make the podcast. It basically builds itself. All I have to do is post the podcast pages, and they are turned automatically into podcasts simply because they have the podcast feed tag on them. So that's pretty cool. That's going to save me a lot of time and effort dealing with the uploads of a separate system. Let's see. Also at that time, I updated the podcast page on the Crystal Archive. It was just offering downloads in a table before, and now it offers the ability to listen to individual episodes without clicking to a new page or downloading the file. You can listen to it right on the webpage. Any of our previous 25 files, because a couple of the episodes are special editions, like 0.5 episodes, the interviews, if you remember. I think episode 9 has two parts, so... that's why there's more than 22 of them on the page currently. Yeah, it looks much nicer, much cleaner. So I'm really happy with that. Now, because I moved to a new system, a new feeds system, and I didn't want to go back and re-upload all of the, retroactively add all of the posts to indicate old podcasts before episode 17, I decided to just start the podcast episodes in this new feed at episode 17. You can still download the old episodes, but you can't get them through subscribing to them on iTunes or through the Feedburner service. But you can account you can fix that if you want to listen to the old episodes as podcasts. You can't stick them in the podcast page on iTunes, but you can do the next best thing, and that's you can have iTunes treat the files like podcasts. And that's I did a little research real quick before the show, and I found that if you go into iTunes and you make a playlist for the Crystal Archive podcasts or whatever that you've downloaded somewhere on your computer, if you right-click the files and you choose Get Info and go to the Options panel, there's a checkbox labeled Remember Playback Position. And that's basically the way that podcasts remember where you left off last time you were playing. And it doesn't always work because it's still like a playlist and like a podcast feed. So if you go forward and back using the forward and back buttons there, it will restart at the beginning. But if you just click on the individual podcasts without going to from another file in that playlist and hit enter to start the play or press play at the top of the screen, I believe. It will remember where you left off last, and in case you have to listen to the podcast in multiple sittings. So that's the best I can do for right now. The podcasts just aren't on the old podcasts are just not on the feed anymore. That's just more of a convenience thing for me. But you can always listen to them if you want to. They're available for you. So don't worry about that. Our next bit of news that happened. I began posting in my on the page timed forward so that they would play one per day. The new Crystal Fan Films, I had them stored up. There were nine of them. Had those all posted one at a time. And there were some interesting ones in there. Not I mean, I don't remember any offhand because there's almost a hun there's over 100 of them now, so it's hard for me to remember any individual ones. I do remember there was one epic one that I really liked in that list. So check those out if you haven't seen them already. Crystal was featured in Game Daily's Top 10 Ladies in Leather. And while I'm glad to finally see Crystal in one of these top 10 lists, she's never, as far as I know, never been in a top 10, gorgeous women of gaming list that are so popular on those sites. It's good to finally see a mention of her on those sites. Unfortunately, everything they said about her was wrong in some way. Let me read you the quote of what they said about Crystal. It says, "It wasn't even 7.2 seconds after Crystal first stepped onto the Star Fox ship before Fox McCloud attempted to get into her intergalactic pants. Frankly, we don't blame him. The leather jumpsuit doesn't do justice to her out-of-this-world body, in fact, from the planet Saria, and her equally disarming weapon skills. Even better, she can communicate psychically, which means she won't be yammering away with you about you doing chores around the house." So, okay, as far as I know, everything they said was wrong. The Great Fox ship is called the Star Fox ship is called the Great Fox, not Star Fox ship. 7.2 seconds is an odd number, but I don't recall it referencing anything. Fox McCloud, as far as we know, never tried to get into her pants until sometime after command. I mean, everyone knows that Fox was shy around her and he liked her, but he's not that kind of guy. There's Her jumpsuit. I really sincerely doubt it's leather. It looks very synthetic to me, and I doubt that they'd be slaughtering anthro cows in order to get their hides for the leather jumpsuit. But, I mean, I guess I can't blame them for thinking it's leather, but, gotta look at these things in detail. What else is wrong here? Crystal is, in fact, not from planet Soria. She's from Serenia, but that's an easy one to miss. I guess they're right about her weapon skills. She's pretty good. As far as we know, Crystal cannot communicate psychically, except perhaps to hear the thought patterns of other creatures. She cannot talk in language to other people, at a distance, telepathically, so far as we've seen. So yeah, that's whatever. I'm glad that she got some mention at all. Anyway. All right, our next thing was Ayama, an artist who's been a fan of the Crystal Archive for a long time, sent us a video of her speed paint of Crystal. She drew Crystal really fast and recorded herself doing it. I mean, I'm sorry, she recorded herself drawing it on the computer and then sped it up so that you could see the transition without spending hours of your time watching a single piece of art being created. But it was enjoyed by all. Very good video, and I have to apologize again. I keep misspelling her name. I think it's Amaya, but it's actually Ayama. I get the M and the Y backwards all the time. Pig A, a former member of Star Fox Online. He left for reasons unknown. He created a series or he created a sprite for the game Drawn to Life, where you can create your own character and do a platformer, simple platformer style game. And he made Crystal, and he sent some photos of them, and they're pretty cool. I mentioned them on the last podcast that I had to post those, and I eventually did. I mentioned on the site that I had to take a breather away from the KA and from the Star Fox Online site because of problems with getting the thesis done and finishing and finding a job. Obviously I'm back. I'm doing, a podcast, and I can't say that I'm back fully. I still have lots and lots of work to do in both regards, both to thesis and to getting a job. But at least now it's more under control. What I did was I switched my thesis topic to a much more narrowly defined range, and in such and a topic that was of such interest to me that I was able to do implementation much easier and faster without being confused by all the details. As for getting a job, I've applied for one company, and I'm looking towards applying to some other ones. So hopefully, I'll have a job shortly into the next new year of 2010. I'm hopeful of what's going to happen. I know it's going to turn out well because things always turn out better than you think. Things are never as bad as you think they will be. And so I have no worry at all that I'll have both a job and a completed thesis and master's degree in a very short time. So I'm excited to get moving on to that next part of my life. So anyway, I'm back. I'm in limited capacity, not doing as much as I could be doing, but I'm trying to make the updates I can do really count, and really be effective in showing, what you want to see, while not spending so much time that it takes away from my real life studies and work. So anyway, that's that. For Halloween, our old friend Glitcher, an artist who sent us a lovely crystal fan art where she was dressed up as a witch, and she had a witch's cap, and her staff had been turned upside down and turned into a broom by attaching what looks oddly like Fox's tail. Not sure if I want to go there. And Glitcher also mentioned that there was an Easter egg in the picture, and it turns out that you can see the words "Crystal Archive" etched in the gate above, or above the gate that leads to a house on the hill, if Let me look at that picture real quick here. An old house on the edge of a cliff is where she's walking, and there's a tree and some dark, moody lighting. It's very pretty. I got all emotional about how I felt about doing the site and seeing your response and your enjoyment of the things I've created and compiled for you, and that just really is the reason. I mean, it's not the reason why I do the Crystal Archive. I do the Crystal Archive because I like Crystal and because I think that it's a good thing to have an archive where fans can come together. But it just really confirms that belief and that hope when people do things like this and express their joy at seeing the Crystal Archive. It brings a tear to my eye and a flutter of my heart to know that people are enjoying my work, that I've had such an impact on many people's lives. I just love it when you guys send me letters of thanks and pictures like this. And so that's how I kind of got off topic on the topic as well on the post. So sorry about that if I freaked you out or anything. But anyways, let's see what's next. At Midwest Fur Fest 2009, someone dressed up as Crystal in her assault outfit, no less. The first time we've seen a cosplayer dressed like that. But unfortunately, there was no other information. All I could find was a couple of pictures, thanks to Kat the Leopardess, who sent them. And I also looked through the fursuit parades videos on YouTube and found a couple of places where she was walking through the center. I actually had a friend who I know online actually went to that FurCon, and they did not see this cosplayer at all. Not even though they were watching the fursuiter parade, they did not see this person who dressed up as Crystal. So I don't think that she spent a lot of time in the suit, and we didn't know anything about her. But it was a very complex assault suit, and Crystal's head there, very good. Also, a fox cosplayer was accompanying her throughout the parade, so that was cool. And they also got some pictures of them together. I asked for any information about this cosplayer, and no one seemed to know anything. At least until yesterday, but I'll get into that later. And I've also already created a page in the cosplay section for this this suit itself, specifically, even without knowing, you know, who was in it and other details. And then literally a couple of days later, about a week later, Miu, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce your name, M-Y-U, contacted me and told me, hey, I'm working on this Crystal cosplay myself, and it's still a work in progress, and she showed it. And it features the mask, the actual Crystal head part of it, is much different from previous ones, because unlike Kat the Leopardess's body paint plus prosthetic and other fursuiters, which is just a mascot head, which could be wiring or foam or tight foam wrapped with fur. This one looks to be entirely made out of soft foam, and gives her a much more cartoony look to her. And the head itself was actually quite small in comparison to previous fursuit heads. It looks like someone's head will just barely fit inside there. She says she's made it larger since these pictures were taken. But I actually like it being smaller because it makes it a little bit more realistic, you know, not this like a huge head on a small body. It actually looks like, you know, that could be her head, you know, in terms of size. So I actually like that aspect of this new work in progress costume. We'll keep following it as it goes, and I'll let you know anytime I learn anything new about how it's going. This cosplayer, you know, Miu, she actually does have a website and has posts other pictures that were not featured on the Crystal Archive, so you can go and check those out. It's linked to in the post. And finally, a couple of days ago, A person I'd never heard of before, Maroth, sent me, or Maloth, Malroth, sorry, Malroth, Malroth, sent me a massive version of a crystal official render. It's the one with Crystal sitting in a chair, all sexy-like. This image is several times the size of the largest, the previously largest known version, the one featured here. I'm always trying to get the highest possible quality, and this is the only one he was able to find that was actually he had a larger version than was featured on the Crystal Archive. It looks to be 5 to 6 times the size of the previous one. It's 2,894 pixels by 4,093 pixels tall, and it takes up about 5.3 megabytes of space. So it is really, really massive. I think we were calculating it because some people were commenting about how they wanted to turn it into a poster. If you use it at 300 DPI, which is a standard high resolution printer dots per square inch. That's the standard that's normally used when printing. You could get a poster the size of slightly larger than a piece of regular paper. I think it was like 12 by 9.5 inches, which is big enough for a framed portrait. So I might do that myself at some point. You can always go to Kinko's and print out whatever you want. As long as you're not, selling stuff, you can print out copyrighted material for your own personal use. So there's no problem with that. Might do it myself one day. So that covers all the news that's happened since last time. Other things have happened that I haven't had a chance to post about because I've been, dealing with real life situations. So, which, I'll get into in a minute when I'm, well, in just a second when I'm talking about the new news, but I did cover the big things that have happened. So here are some things that are coming up, real soon. Last night I was actually making a backup of all my websites, the Crystal Archive and the Star Fox Online, making a backup of the data so that, when I'm on my trip, if something goes wrong or someone steals my computer, I'll still have a backup and can rebuild. I noticed that there were two spam comments on the Crystal Archive, so I checked them, and what do you know? They were from the person who was cosplaying as that assault crystal, and she calls herself Kess. I'm assuming it's a lady. I could be wrong, and she might also go by Osprey Cat. I've sent her an email and haven't heard a response back yet, so we'll see what happens with that, but hopefully we'll find out some new information and possibly some more work in progress stuff because she mentioned in the comments that it was still a work in progress. So the last couple of days I spent almost all day that I had to myself, all my free time the last couple of days going through the fan art because as you all know, we haven't had a new fan art update since before the last podcast. And I just let them get, higher and higher and more until it became just unmanageable. There were over 10,000 pictures to look through for Crystal Art, and and that was just too many, to deal with. I actually had a friend who volunteered to help, and your name is slipping my mind at the moment, but forgive me for that. But he was an immense help. And he helped go through some fan art and just take the ones that had crystal in it and store it in a list for me so I could go through it and have an easier time of it. Unfortunately, he himself had some real life time issues and couldn't do all of them himself. So the last couple of days, I did the remaining 6,000 of them myself. And I got that all done, and then I went back through and did my search, my standard method of doing fan art searching, in the case, in the case of new artists appearing. And I stored all those fan arts together, and then I researched a few new methods, some new Unix commands that would have been really helpful to know a few years ago. It would have helped me a lot, but I managed in a matter of hours to reduce the entire set of fan arts, both copies combined into one list of unique new fan arts. And that and then that gets me about 1,090 pictures to look through. I'm currently looking through them now. It's something like I'm about 515, so about halfway through of looking through them, checking to see which ones, you know, can't go on the archive because they're questionable or not, you know, not suitable for human consumption at all. And then the others that are just not crystal, they were copied by accident. And otherwise, just, you know, writing out warnings that I will then add into, you know, so we'll have the warnings for the various weirder but still acceptable pictures. And once I'm done with that, we'll have a new list of fan art to post. I'm guessing, based on the amount I've removed so far, there's going to, this next update, when I update in a couple of days, if not later today, we'll have around 900 or 800 new crystal fan arts in a single update. It's going to be really massive. So I apologize for that bulk. I'm going to have to split it up because WordPress simply can't handle that many new links in a single post. So I'm going to split that up into multiple posts. And that brings me to another topic. The fan art has become way, 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 way too large. Too many artists, too many things to look through for me to handle on my own. And finding help with it is just unrealistic because it's just too much for any person to do. And it's very difficult to have multiple people working on it because it's one of those things that can't be split up very easily because things tend to overlap and people will duplicate information. So I've decided after this update and from now on, I will do a new fan art system. So here's how it's going to work. I'm no longer going to be I'm not going to remove myself from watching all the people I watch, but I'm not going to add any more, and I'm going to turn off the updates. So that whenever they create a new piece of art, I'm not going to see it that way. It's not going to show up in my messages on DeviantArt. Instead, I'm going to go entirely search-based. Since I have to do the search every time anyway to find the new artists as well as the old. Unfortunately, that means that if people make fan art that is not titled with, you know, that does not have the word crystal in the post or in the title or in the tags or whatever, I won't see it. You know, I might do an additional search for Star Fox, but I can't guarantee that because that's got, you know, thousands of pictures as well. And to manage the duplicates is quite a challenging task indeed. So I'm going to have to do the search only from now on. And that means that every month or so, I'll run through and I'll do a search for the word crystal. And I will copy all the links to pages that appear to have, from the thumbnails, crystal in them. And then I will sort through those. And I'll just go and I'll copy all the URLs from the current time, you know, present day, all the way back to the previous fan art update. So I'm basically combining two previous steps into one. And that search method can be done in a single evening. It's not spread out over many evenings of looking through fan art because it's focused specifically on the word crystal. I don't have to sort through things that are not crystal that just happen to be from artists who have done crystal art in the past. Furthermore, as I mentioned earlier, I've discovered some new scripts that help make the process a bit faster, especially in the problem of discovering unique things. Also, at the request of multiple people, I've decided that not this time, but probably the next time after this, our next update, I'm going to start doing two things that people have requested. One is that I'm going to start separating out the 3D poser art, art of crystal in 3D, be it, you know, Gary's Mod poses or poser poses of crystal, because many traditional artists have complained that that's not really art. And whether it is or isn't, the fact remains that the 3D artists, at least the, you know, the people who are just using poser, not the people who actually create the 3D model, but just the ones using and posing her, is they can create a massively larger amount of crystal art faster because the process is simply easier. You just pose something that's already there. You don't have to worry about line art and shading and coloring because the 3D geometry handles that for you. So I'm not going to remove them from the list, but I'm going to start separating them into their own list. So those who want to see 3D art can see 3D art, and those who don't want to see 3D art don't have to. But I'm not going to give up on the mission to have all clean crystal fan art in existence. It's by its very nature, the Crystal Archive is an archive, and that's the goal, is to be an archive of all crystal-related material, you know, at least those that are good, you know, in terms of cleanliness. Obviously, the Crystal Archive has an age policy, so. The other thing that is requested is that a lot of people are impatient. I don't mean it in a negative way, but there is a ton of crystal fan art. We're going to have, you know, 800 new fan arts coming up soon. And a lot of people don't have the time to look through all 800 fan arts to find the ones, you know, that they consider the best. They want to have a way of knowing, you know, quality. They don't want to see just sketchy pictures of crystal. They want to see the full product, the final product, and only the best. And so I've decided to, since it's going to be technically impossible to do a good rating system on all crystal fan art. There's simply too much. And how do you rate art? You know, since art can vary so differently, you know, there's so many different mediums and different styles that it's hard to give you a uniform quality measure. So instead, I'm going to do the next best thing, and I'm going to do what I'm going to call Mr. Crystal's Picks, as in P-I-C-K-S. And it's basically going to be, I'm going to mark, perhaps with a little star somewhere, my favorites of a given list. And I'll eventually try and go back through the main fan art list and find the ones I enjoyed the most. You know, and that's going to be my opinion. You know, I like certain things that other people don't. So, you know, I can't please everyone, but at least it will help those who are looking for that higher quality finished product. So I hope you will enjoy that feature whenever I get around to implementing it. It's going to take a while. So don't, it is coming, but don't push me, because it's a ton of work, trust me. So that's my plans for the fan art section and all fan arts in general. So we're going to have a huge crystal fan art update coming soon. Be on the lookout for that. Probably later today if I finish it up, or sometime tomorrow, hopefully. I really want to get it done before I make my way down to my home to be with family. I've got a lot of fan art, fan films saved up, like last time. You know, I don't get around to posting the fan films I find, you know, each week when I look for them. And so they're saved up. There's like 15 of them to post. So I'll probably post one today and then post them into the future so that there'll be one new appearing every day. There's going to be a bunch of new fan films, probably up until and beyond Christmas Day. So I hope you will enjoy those whenever I get them posted. I've got a lot of things backed up. Thankfully, there's no big, you know, huge crystal news that's backed up. I managed to get that out on time, but the things that stay the same, there's always going to be new fan art and there's always going to be new fan films. Those things tend to lag behind a little bit, but I'm trying. For our very special Christmas, as I do every year, I try and find some new thing to post, some interesting gift to give you all. And this year, I don't really have anything specifically crystal related to give you. So I decided to try something else. I'm going to, as you know, I'm working on my thesis, and it's kind of like in relation to non-photorealistic rendering, and edge detection. So what I'm going to do, because my thesis program actually can implement models now, I'm going to import one or two of the crystal models we have on the site into my program, and then I will run through a couple of filters in a video and explain, okay, here's what I'm doing for my thesis, basically. And I'm going to show how it applies to an actual 3D model, which is crystal themes. So I hope that will be both interesting and enough crystal related to be of interest to all of you. So I'll probably be doing that in the next couple of days, and then I'll have it posted to the future. I'll post the video on YouTube and then link to it in the site itself. Oh, and that reminds me, the Crystal Archive is about to celebrate its fourth birthday on January 8th, I believe, is the birthday of the Crystal Archive. Again, I don't think I have anything special planned, but I'll definitely make a mention of it on the site, and I'm just glad that something I've made has lasted this long. Let's see. The last bit of news, and with regard to Crystal and the archive, is I've been thinking about accepting a partner. We've had some partners in the past. Foxbird 22 and a few others have helped with the Crystal Archive from time to time. And I just wonder, I want the Crystal Archive to last a really long time, and we're all mortal, and who knows what can happen to us at any time. So I've decided to prepare things, get them ready in the event that I become unable to continue doing the Crystal Archive site, that someone can be there ready to take over, just like a vice president would take over in the case that the president becomes incapacitated in some way or something like that. Have someone waiting in the wings. And so I'm not specifically asking for someone to be a partner. I actually have someone who's kind of volunteered, and I'm going to try and start training them. But I just want to let you know that if you are thinking about that, especially if you're a computer scientist or just really good with computers, and you really like Crystal and you don't think you're going to stop being a fan anytime soon, what a great opportunity. Contact me about it. We'll work something out. I'm going to be going through and remembering how I built the site and how I do things. Remembering in the sense that I remember enough and write it down so that and know remember it specifically enough that people can actually understand how to do it. And I'm actually going to try and make some video tutorials of basically how to run the site. These won't be made public, but I'm just letting you know this is my dead man switch, as it were, way of dealing with the uncertain, unpredictable. So that covers all the news, all the crystal news. So let's move straight into Star Fox news. We've got quite a bit of that, because unlike the Crystal Archive, well, I did say I actually did leave the forums temporarily on both the Crystal Lovers Association and Star Fox Online. I still tried to spend a little bit of free time updating Star Fox Online because it hasn't been getting its fair share of updates. I've had updates to do for that site for years, and it's just been neglected. So I tried to do a lot of updates. So here is a list of the things we've done for Star Fox Online recently. So if I didn't mention last time, I had been planning a major update to the visual style of Star Fox Online. If I did mention that I was working or had finished it last time, I finished it back in October, which was actually before the last podcast, but I can't tell if I actually talked about it in detail last time. So let me just mention briefly that completely redesigned the site, It now uses a black starry background with blue highlights style theme. So it's much more dark and edgy compared to the red and black color scheme previously. We added a bunch of features. Well, the layout itself is very clean, much more clean in comparison, and much more awesome. It's got a huge R wing that's got the left wing on the side of the on the top side of the site. It actually can go off of the edge of the screen and not create a horizontal scroll bar, which is actually a lot more difficult than it looks. That's actually the thing I'm most proud of about this site, is the fact that that wing can go off the screen and not make anything break. According to the internet, that's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be possible, which is why I'll probably be writing an article about that, explaining how to do that at some point. You know, not on Star Fox Online, but I'll probably submit it to a web design site or two. Some new features we have here. Let's see. I have it set up to do news in order. Before I go on with the Star Fox Online updates, let me mention briefly that Tom has updated his Saurian translator with a read mode. He has a site now. It's dinotranslator.tk. He's got his own site, and it's his own implementation of Saurian Translator. This is like a competition with my Saurian Translator. I think we're going back and forth in terms of design. I'm going to, at some point, implement a few new ideas of my own. With that, I think I mentioned that I talked a lot about Saurian Translator last podcast, so I won't get too much into that, but just know that Tom has updated his Saurian translator with a new read mode, which lets you see in a long list of a long paragraph of words. If you highlight over a word, it will actually highlight that translated word in the other two boxes, the Saurian box and the phonetic pronunciation box, something I'm still working on. Okay, going back, here's the news since last time on Star Fox Online. Let's see. I updated all of the music on the site. The Star Fox Online's music collection is the most complete of any of our available media available for download. We have all of the Star Fox soundtracks and the soundtracks from the Smash Brothers series, at least the songs that are Star Fox related. And over the time since we posted them, people have made us aware of various glitches or missing pieces and other problems with the soundtrack, or even requested some songs that weren't actually technically part of our soundtrack. So I went back and I corrected all of those errors and updated all the pages. And so now Star Fox Online should have the most complete collection of Star Fox songs for all of the official games and for the Brawl series, or the Smash Brothers series. Still need to work on getting some side tracks like remixes and stuff like that. That's coming up sometime later. The Star Fox Adventures, as you all know, had a difficult time in development because it was originally going to be a Rare original game, and then it got, at Nintendo's request, forced into being a Star Fox game, which we have to be thankful for because that's what gave us the lovely Crystal. Instead of her being a young 14-year-old cat, she's an 18-year-old smoking, sexy vixen. So we're happy about that. And anyway, that long time in development led to some files being in the source code that never actually made it to the final release. And if you recall, at the very beginning of the Crystal Archive, one of the exclusives that the Crystal Archive had was the unused voice clips of Crystal from Star Fox Adventures, showing her in different parts of the story than she was in the actual game. and even illustrating a whole new part of the story that no one ever got to see. Well, I've had those files, those decoded audio voice clips from Star Fox Adventures since several months before I ever started working on the Crystal Archive. But it's taken this long, you know, until 2009, you know, 7 years after the game came out, to finally release all of the unused and all of the voice clips from Star Fox Adventures. I must stress that this is all of the voice clips ever used in the game, except for, you know, the environmental grunts, like when a character grunts when they get hit or when they're walking. Don't have those sounds. But every time they speak, and a lot of times when they're yelling or grunting for a cutscene, I have all of those clips. And most of them are not in cutscenes, so you don't have the background music muffling the characters' voices. Although some of them are just cutscenes. I tried to remove all duplicates, so you'll only hear duplicates if there was a slight difference. And that difference would not include the inclusion of a background background music. So that totals around 730 voice clips, plus a few extras that I didn't think should go in the main list because they consisted only of grunts and yells and stuff. But every piece of voice acting is there, including several characters and scenes that just simply aren't in the game. Some of them are from locations that are simply not in the game, such as what appears to be Diamond Bay, and Diamond Bay's method of transport. The way you get to Diamond Bay was apparently a canoe ride from the river that flows through Thorntail Hollow. And you can hear that and many other variations of clips never heard in the game. So that's interesting. I have done a little bit of analysis on them, but I just didn't have time to do a complete analysis on all of them to find out all the missing pieces. But anyone who's interested in finding out these unused parts have the resources available. Every one of these clips is available for download. A massive number, to be sure, but they're available. I added the jukebox, and this is something I had thought about making ever since I started redesigning Star Fox Online. The idea was to have a link you could click that would open a separate window and that would allow you to use playlists to play Star Fox music from various games. Since we already have the music on the site, it would be relatively simple to do that. I actually ran into a ton of problems finding a good player to use, but I finally settled on an old standard, the regular old Flash music player. It's been around for years, but few people use it now because of YouTube and all that. But it can play songs pretty well. And we have all of our playlists on there for every game, and a single playlist that takes all the other playlists and combines them and then randomizes, shuffles the song list, so you can get a unique experience every time. And that's there. It's right on the top of the screen. You click the jukebox button and up pops a window. You can close it whenever you want, or you can play music through that. So that was a really cool feature. It was fun to implement once I got past the hurdle of finding a good music player. Let's see what's next here. Okay, during the time that it was, during the time I was redesigning the site and not updating the Star Fox Online, you know, there was a span of several months where it just got no updates whatsoever. Some important Star Fox news occurred, and I went back and looked through it and made some comments on it and posted all the relevant news that had happened since that last post. So let me go through that real quick. You may recall I've mentioned, you know, way back whenever this happened, I think both on Star Fox Online's site and on the Crystal Archive podcast, that Dylan Cuthbert, the original creator of Star Fox, had an interview, and he mentioned in that interview various things, certain potentially inflammatory things, such as furries are weird, basically, that he was not interested in making the next Star Fox game. And he said that the Wii is a toy. Now, a lot of people got in an uproar about that. And I can see how they do it, but not many people know that he actually responded to the criticism of his comments the day after. And let me just read to you here what he said. He says, quote, and this is for one of the comments on one of the pages. I think it was on Kotaku. Just like to point out here, and this is Dylan of Q Games, that I wasn't having a dig at Miyamoto at all. I was just explaining how he works. He gets on and does his thing. He is an amazing creator, and that's what amazing creators do. And the comment with regard to the Wii Star Fox, about not wanting to make a Wii Star Fox, is clear. It would take a large team, and right now I'm having a lot of fun with working on smaller teams. That's all there is to it, really. That's how I intended to comment, not Dylan Spurn's Star Fox shock and horror. I will also say that the Wii is more of a toy, and it is. This is not derogatory. The Wii is a great machine with lots of bells and whistles, and it makes it feel, to me, more toy-like in comparison to the Xbox 360 and PS3, which are more media-center-like. And I think his comments on the subject are fair. He makes several good points, and I'm not going to spurn him for his comments. Except perhaps, you know, for the furry comment, but that's just because he doesn't know much about us. So, anyway. On August 21st, 2009, NintendoCU.com claimed to have some new info on the next Star Fox game that was in development due to a picture they had of a clearly faked Nintendo Power cover. They made the cardinal mistake of making a fake news item, and that is using art from the previous game to advertise a new game. That never happens. Ever. At least not in my experience. I've never seen that happen. You can always tell a fake if they use, you know, easily photoshopped pictures to make the new, you know, cover of whatever the game is. So, they admitted that they were wrong when they realized that it was a fake. So good for them. But then they mentioned that Nintendo had renewed Star Fox Online. I mean, sorry, not Star Fox Online. StarFox.com, the website domain. Thus, it must be that they were about to release the next Star Fox game. Well, no, that's not true. Nintendo is in the business of both creating intellectual property and protecting intellectual property, and making sure that you keep the domain name of one of your key franchises is just one thing that companies like this do. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're about to release a new Star Fox game. And any site right now that's making claims that an inside source has told us that the next Star Fox game is in development and it could come to the DS or Wii, but we can't name sources and we can't say anything about it, but we do know it's coming. Well, quite frankly, duh. Everyone knows that Nintendo is working on the next Star Fox game. They're also working on the next Kirby game, and the next Mario game, and the next Zelda game. They're always working on the next big franchise game. They never stop. So any company saying, you know, these inspecific rumors about the next Star Fox game, they're simply telling you stuff you already know. Wait for them to actually say something, you know, that we don't know, like, you know, a specific control scheme or a specific new character, something simple that would be, you know, confirmable as being from a new game. As it is, people can post these rumors with no, you know, problems because they're so non-specific that anyone can make them up and they could never be wrong because we already know that they're true. Okay. So that's, I mean, I'm kind of annoyed about rumors because unless they come from a really good source and they give you new information, they're just not worth the time to deal with them. All right, enough of a rant about that. October 27th, 2009, Mr. Miyamoto, in an interview, expressed sadness that Star Fox was lacking its previous popularity in Japan. He loves the series, he says, but he gets, you know, distracted and forgetful about it because, frankly, he's working on so many different projects at Nintendo. And I don't blame him, but I did mention in the comments that I wish he would go more towards a flight shooter game, because we've got lots and lots of examples of third-person shooters. We don't need them. We don't need more in the Star Fox game. I respect the views of other members who said, "Yeah, well, I could see, you know, there being another a Star Fox a third-person shooter game, you know, where it's walking around outside the Landmaster or R-Wing, and it would be an okay game." But the fact is that when you split your focus between two different core mechanics, you know, weapons-based third-person shooters and space flight shooters, then your resources are split. That means, almost by definition, you can't have the same quality in either one of those. Both of them are going to be made worse. So either it needs to be strictly a third-person, on-the-grounds, weapons-based shooter game, or it needs to be a flight only. You can't do both and expect to have high quality. You're just going to end up with mediocre games. It's been seen countless times. It's called the convergence problem. Whenever one thing or one game or one software or one device, one phone tries to do the job of 50 games or 3 games or 2 games or 5 devices in one, every one of those aspects of the device is going to be lower quality. That's why the iPod was so good. It really only does one thing, playing music. At least it did. Now, there's a limit to that. At a certain point, you know, you can't really make a music-playing device better than it is. It plays music perfectly. You can't really make it better than that. And so then you have room. Then you have room to add more features because you've already perfected the old version, the original purpose of the device or game. But in games, it's much more finicky. There's no set formula for how to make the perfect flight shooter game. There's no formula for making the perfect over-the-shoulder third-person shooter on the ground. Okay, so at least for now, it's technically impossible to do a really good game that does both. It's just the way it is. All right, well, enough of that ranting and an opinion. Okay, back to the news, specific news. All right, so I think the next week, what happened was DZ Composer, while doing some fairly standard maintenance on the forums, decided to update to a sub-numbered update of the forum software. We use Simple Machines forums software. And for some unknown reason, SMF decided to, in a non-major release, do major changes to their underlying framework. As a result, our theme on our forums broke immediately, and everyone was in a panic, and I came in, and over the course of a couple days, we went ahead and just made a completely new theme, since we needed to anyway. And the new theme is much more like the new site design, you know, black and blue color scheme. So that's done. We've got a new color scheme for the site. I posted a Patrick Coffin's rap / remix song about Peppy Hare and how, you know, he was like his favorite character. And it's a really, really awesome song and music video. He's standing up there and dancing, and Peppy's in the background giving advice, and it's awesome. It's like one of the best videos in a long time. So check that out if you haven't, by the way. A Philippine company started taking orders for wood carvings of R-Wings. They look to be, you know, scale versions. They're small enough to sit on your desk, you know. And they're pretty high quality, but the price is a bit high, around $100 plus shipping. I decided to change our gallery. You know, we have all these Star Fox pictures and comics in the gallery. Soon to be more, I just haven't gotten around to posting more pictures in there. But the gallery system we used to do those picture galleries was using software called Gallery 2, which is it's an older, huge, very, very complicated gallery software. In fact, it's way more complicated than we need. And so I decided to switch it out for the much simpler and cleaner Zenfoto, which is more about what we want to do. I haven't gotten around to theming it yet, but you can see the gallery with a few new pictures updated there in its new themed, well, its new home, soon to be themed, more Star Fox Online related. NinjaBot, a company that makes t-shirts and other products that have memes on them, has, by now, they're no longer in pre-release. They're actually released shirts, two shirts that are Star Fox related. One is a parody of Starbucks coffee. It just says Star Fox Coffee, and it has a picture of Fox's face there on the right front and center on the t-shirt. And then the other one is, it's got that logo, the Star Fox copy in the background, and then it's Wolf standing there with his arms crossed, and he says, "Can't let you brew that, Star Fox." And so those are pretty funny. The official, unofficial meme shirts starring Star Fox. It's great. I think one person has already bought on the site has already bought them, and they said they were awesome, so that's good. They're $18 a piece if you want them. And they're now available, so get them while the getting's good, as they would say. An artist, and this is one of those unusual artists who tries to make the world itself part of his canvas. He had previously done art pieces where he had stuck Mario-style question blocks, you know, the kind that you hit and coins come out. He had posted those around his town and in trees, you know, places where people could jump to hit them and stuff. Well, this time he made a model that was like a flattened, semi-transparent piece of plastic, and sticking out of it was a polygonical representation of what Andross's head looked like, you know, back in the N64, I mean, not N64, the Super Nintendo days, you know, when he was all really polygony and had lots of flat faces on there, you know, with the weird mouth and the glowing eyes. And he built this thing and he stuck it right over a Subway TV screen. And since it's semi-transparent where the lines are of the polygons, a light flows through it from the background screen and it changes because the images on the screen are changing. And so what it looks like is like this glowing, blinking Andross head as you walk into a Subway. Not like a Subway like the restaurant, but like Subway like underground travel. Apparently this is illegal in America, at least unless you get permission, so, you know, don't go doing your art, doing harmless art in real space. People might think it's a bomb. This has happened before, but it's pretty cool that he did that. And so there's a video up there on Star Fox Online. That's the latest news from Star Fox Online. So that is all the news that has happened. Then I wanted to mention briefly that DZ Composer has been slowly working on the wiki of Star Fox Online. This wiki, as I've mentioned before, is designed to be a place that only stores canon data for Star Fox. If we cannot prove it with, you know, direct references to official material, it won't be on there. DZ Composer has been slowly working on it, and I've got lots of data to add to it, but I'm waiting until we get a chance to sit down and make plans on how we want to do it so we do it all right and have it all planned out. So hopefully we'll get started on that in the new year, and we'll have an excellent source for all of you looking for how do we know that about Star Fox? I don't remember the official source. Well, it's right here in the back of the box art from this game, or in the instruction manual for that game, or whatever. Let's see what's next here. Okay, that covers all of the Crystal and Star Fox news. I just have one more bit of news to mention, and this is unrelated to Star Fox or Crystal, but it is game-related. A few years ago, back when I was in undergrad, this was years and years ago, they released a trailer for a movie called The Legend of Zelda, A Hero of Time. It's an unofficial Zelda movie. But it's being produced by a real producer and director, and they have several animators, and it's got apparently high production values, but it does have a limited budget because it's an unofficial project, and you know they had to rely on volunteers a lot. So that trailer was released a long, long time ago, and lots of people hate it because they don't like the way Link looks. Whatever. Regardless, as of today, this movie has been released for free on the internet. They released it through Daily Motion. It's like a YouTube competitor. And I haven't had a chance to watch the movie yet. I'm gonna wait and watch it with my family at home in a couple of days. The couple of reviews I've seen so far said that the movie was actually pretty good, considering the limited budget they had. So I'm guessing it's going to have lots of really cool parts and lots of really weird parts, kind of like, why did you do that? But okay, it's a complete two-hour Zelda movie. Okay? For those of you wondering, what a Zelda movie was like, this may not be, the perfect example, but this is an example and certainly worth your time as a game fan. You can find out more about it on their official website, theherooftime.com. And that covers the news for this time. So now we've got quite a bit of listener emails since last time. I have them here, and I'm going to start reading them through, as is my custom. So let me get started on that. The first email comes from Foxshot, who writes, "I was just now listening to your 22nd podcast, and I heard you had Asperger's syndrome. This surprised me because I have Asperger's syndrome too. There are actually lots of celebrities and famous people who have Asperger's syndrome, including the inventor of Pokemon. I've been trying to find a way to use the skill like you do, but all I've achieved thus far is learning how to script Lua. I've personally been wondering which fan game you're the most interested in. I'm only interested in Shadows of Lylat because it's the only one I can get my hands on as of right now. Hope to see you keeping up with the site and interesting news." I responded that Lua is very important. It's used in a lot of games these days, especially some of the games where I work. You know, I've actually worked a little bit with Lua. And also some friends of mine who sit next to me in the lab, they work with Lua. Like, their entire game is made up of Lua. All the gameplay is Lua, and then just connects to their game engine. So that's pretty cool. Next one comes from For Freedom, who writes, "How old is Crystal? Does she still care about her parents and home planet after Star Fox Adventures?" I responded that Crystal is 19 in Adventures, 20 in Assault, and 21 to 25 or so in Command. In Dinosaur Planet, Crystal was 16 years old, but that's not technically the Crystal we know. As for Crystal, whether Crystal still cares about what happened to her family and planet, I don't know. She seems to have kept herself pretty busy since Adventures. Certainly, fanfic writers love to explain this part. More than likely, it's something that Nintendo just forgot about or didn't consider that important. Or perhaps, as they often do, decided to let the fans try and figure it out. And by the way, Ryan Sharp, another emailer to the site and podcast, also wanted to find out how I got the info that Crystal's 19 in Adventures. Crystal's age of 19 comes from the Japanese official site from Star Fox Adventures. You can find a link to it on Star Fox Online. I believe there's also another official reference to this fact somewhere else, but I can't remember where. The next email comes from Super GameCube 64, who writes, "Hello, Mr. Crystal. I don't know if you remember me, but I am an ex-moderator here at the Crystal Lovers Association. And by the way, this was a PM, a personal message on the Crystal Lovers Association, not an email. As I was just paying a visit to the site to visit and see what happened since my absence, I had been to your Crystal Archive site before, but just to check the audio clips, really. It wasn't until a few moments ago that I actually went back to read the articles you had there. I just wanted to say that you are a wonderful conveyor of words, and that all of your articles held my attention until the end, which isn't very easy to do with me. Well, I just wanted to give you a pat on the back, really. I am a writer, and I know how wonderful it feels to receive feedback, and I try to give it out as often as I can. I wish you luck, and God bless you. Well, thanks. Super GameCube 64, I really get very little feedback on my articles. But, you know, who can blame people with all the cute pictures of Crystal around? So, thanks, man. Someone named Jeff writes, I don't know why, but I was just thinking one day that everything good or bad must come to an end eventually. And for some reason, I thought of the Crystal Archive site and podcast. So I wanted to ask this question. If you ever stop doing the podcast and the site, will that be the end of it all? Or do you have someone who would take it over? Or would you hold a contest so that the most dedicated fan who would still abide by the policies would take it over? Or is there someone you would leave it to? So that you, so if you could please reply, because I can't stop thinking about it. I said that I have thought about that a lot. In fact, I mentioned that on the podcast because of this email. I don't really have a direct succession of people who could do that currently. I've tried to establish throughout the years some helpers on the site who eventually I could give the responsibility of taking over should something happen. However, none of them really stuck, you know. They all either became too busy with real life or simply stopped liking Crystal. I don't know if there is anyone quite dedicated enough to maintain a site like this, but maybe I'll find someone eventually. And not mention the email, I gotta say that my Asperger's syndrome is probably the reason why I can do it, is because I have this immense ability to focus for long periods of time on the things I enjoy. Since I enjoy Crystal, I can spend 5 hours doing fan art, as I did last night. And so I don't know that that dedication exists in other people unless they are like me. So I don't know. But we'll see. That's something to think about for later. Showtime 1.1 writes, my name is Showtime, and I am a pilot. Or as close to it as a person my age can get. For my whole life, I have flown flight sims based around challenge and realism. I judge my skills by comparing my abilities in a sim to what my heroes have done in real life. I took it all very seriously. When I first tried playing Star Fox 64, I failed pretty badly. After all, and after that, I really didn't bother with arcade-style flying games, because it was based on fun rather than realism. However, recently a friend introduced me to Star Fox Assault and taught me how to play in a few hardcore gaming sessions. I do not own any game consoles and never have, so it was all very new to me. But I was hooked. After playing in versus mode only, I started to think about Star Fox and its universe as much as I think about the real planes. It wasn't just the gameplay that hooked me, though. Once I got past the game itself, what the game itself encompasses, I discovered the characters and fell again. I don't know if it's the visual design, the individual personalities, or just the quality of the characters in general, but I am addicted, and I fell in love with Crystal. I just saw a picture somewhere that said, everyone is furry for Crystal, and it's very true, whether you will admit it or not. Before Crystal, I had no idea about the fandom that followed anthropomorphic art styles, but now I feel I'm a part of it. I can't seem to get enough game renders or fan art, and the Crystal Archive is working its way up to my most visited sites list. I feel partly ashamed, actually, because it seems like I'm looking to fiction for things I should be getting out of real life. But at the same time, there's a massive online community, and I feel like I belong there. Anyway, I will continue to look on the sites like the Crystal Archive, and to feed my newfound interest, seeing as I won't be playing any Star Fox games anytime soon, comics, fan arts, cutscenes, and your podcast, surprisingly entertaining, by the way, will have to suffice. And I may even join a forum to voice some opinions. I can't help but think I'll be like an exchange member from a realistic-style air combat forum, because of the ways my knowledge of real tactics have translated into some surprising R-Wing skills. Thank you for supporting a passion I didn't even know I had until recently, and I look forward to more Star Fox, and especially more Crystal, in the future. Your newest fan, Showtime 1-1. I responded, it's nice to meet you, Showtime. Glad you found the love for the Star Fox series, and also for Crystal. Yes, one has to be careful about replacing real life with fantasy, but as long as you acknowledge that Crystal isn't real, I think you're pretty safe. As you can see on the site, I've been really busy with my thesis work, and so new updates may be slow coming. I've refocused on Star Fox Online, though, so you should be seeing some more stuff coming from there soon. The next email comes from someone named Ash, who writes, I have a question in regard to Star Fox Adventure voice acting clips. I've played through Star Fox Adventures about 5 times now, and I have never seen or heard Falco in the Walled City, and only during the final fight with Andross. There are also a number of clips of everyone else that you have posted on the pages for Star Fox Adventures that happen to be in Force Point Temples, Krazoa Shrines, and many other places. I don't know how to get these clips to happen. Could you please tell me or send me a video or link to a video that of how to do it? If you don't know that, then tell me what the deal is, because so far as I can think, there's a lot of voice clips that are fake here. And also, I'd like to know where you got them from. Otherwise, the site is great. Keep up the good work. I responded that a lot of these clips never occurred in the game because the game changed a lot. I decoded the audio files from the game code itself, so this is all of them, whether they actually made it to the final game or not. And finally, our last email comes from Lilat Warrior. She writes, "Hey, Mr. Crystal, how are you? First of all, I would like to apologize for being so feisty about Reggie, and I thought about what you have said, and you were right. I have many third-party games like Knights, Elebits, and The Cooking Mama that are pretty good. Also, I wanted to say that on September 23rd, I received an email from GamePro, and they loved my artwork. It's because I sent them some of my artwork about a month ago. My artwork may be showing up for Art Attack, of the Art Attack Gallery, for either this month or next month. I have a question. If the title of Star Fox Wii is Battle for Corneria, will you... and if that is true, is it possible that Crystal and Fox will be together again and Dash Bowman will be the new enemy of the game? Well, it's all right. You've no harm done with your rant. And congratulations on getting your artwork mentioned there. I hope you did get in, and I'd love to see, if you did get in, a picture from the magazine about it. I honestly have no idea what they'll be doing for the next Star Fox game. Something tells me they will avoid the events of Command, either by ignoring them entirely or by doing a game that occurs between the other games in the series. So that's all of the questions I have for this time. If you have a question, want to have it read on the podcast, or just have a comment, or want to say something, this is, you can just email me at mrcrystal@gmail.com, no dots, no spaces, and tell me what you think. Also tell me what you think about the podcast and the new site, and also the new Star Fox Online design. I want you all to check that out if you haven't already. It's really, really good. And that's all I've really got for now. So let me just say that this is coming up the end of the year, and so I want all of you to have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and all of those other holidays you may celebrate. Happy Christmas Hanukkah, and just take the time to be with family and tell them you love them and be thankful and appreciate the things you have, because I know you all have something to be thankful for. So, you know, just remember that in this joyous time of year. And I will see you all in 2010 on the next podcast. See you next time.